This is Kendall Mead of Mascot, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra on Wednesday, June 1st, and this morning we will speak with Out Hudson Executive Director Lasun Zotique about the 13th annual Out Hudson LGBTQ Pride Celebration that takes place in Hudson June 1st through June 5th. Also on the WGXC Morning Show, we'll hear national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
It's the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network,
and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network,
this is the news.
Turns to blood.
This is the network,
runs through.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Saturday, June 4th, turn out for a hike with Bob Gildersleeve and Robert Titus at the North South Lake Park in Haines Falls, put on by the Mountaintop Historical Society. Historian Bob Gildersleeve and geologist Robert Titus lead a hike around the North South Lake to celebrate National Trails Day, with Gildersleeve describing the cultural history of the area and Titus sharing the geological history. This is at 9 a.m. Saturday, June 4th, and you can find out more information about this and many other local events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Henning's Local Test Kitchen in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Central Hudson Gas and Electric Company May 31st said that natural gas prices will increase beginning June 1st. The utility said the supply price for natural gas will rise to 77 cents per 100 cubic feet, up from 64 cents in May, a 20% increase. Central Hudson said that while the use of natural gas, quote, by homes and residents is typically lower in June, supply prices stated on bills and overall bill impacts will vary for individual customers depending on their billing cycle and energy usage, unquote. Joseph Jenkins, a Central Hudson spokesperson, said electricity price changes for the month will be available on June 9th or 10th. Central Hudson is deferring gas spot purchases made earlier this year and spreading those costs throughout the 2023 calendar year to help reduce overall bill impacts to customers. Quote, these spot purchases were necessary during the periods of extreme cold this winter to meet the heating needs of residents and businesses, unquote, the company said in a press release. The State Public Service Commission recently announced that while the state is prepared to meet the increased demand for electricity this summer, it anticipates supply costs to increase. The gas supply announcement comes amid thousands of complaints about high Central Hudson bills and investigations by the Public Service Commission and a state Senate committee.
Sarah Tadeo and Mike Stuka report in the Poughkeepsie Journal that New York's COVID-19 case counts dropped 36.5% last week. There were 45,469 new cases last week, down from 71,647 new cases the week before. New York now ranks 22nd in the country for new cases, but 32 of New York's 62 counties are still in the high-risk COVID-19 category. Greene County is only at medium risk, while Albany, Rensselaer, Columbia, Dutchess, and Ulster County residents are still at high risk and should wear masks in indoor public settings. Governor Kathy Hochul said on May 27th, and I quote, "The best way to protect yourself and your loved ones from serious illness is to get vaccinated and keep up to date with your booster doses," end quote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that one-term Republican State Senator Michael Martucci announced May 31st that he will not seek re-election in November. Quote, "Stepping away from this race is a very difficult decision for me because it has been the honor of a lifetime to serve communities across four counties, and I believe that my team and I have done tremendous work in just 2 years in office," unquote, he said. The redistricting process would have pitted Martucci against Senator James Skoufis, a Democrat. Martucci said when he first declared candidacy, the district he petitioned was, quote, "completely different from the one that exists today," unquote. He said because of the prolonged process, he had no idea what the new 42nd district would look like or who his opponent would be until last weekend. Martucci said even though he is stepping aside, quote, "I want to be clear about one important fact. This seat has been in Republican hands for most of the last 50 years, and I expect it to remain that way," unquote. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Spectrum News reports that gas prices could be lower on June 1st when New York State gas tax suspension begins. In April, lawmakers voted to suspend collection of gas tax from June 1st to January 1st. Lawmakers are passing on more than $600 million in revenue and giving back to consumers 16 cents per gallon. Local counties have the option to suspend their share of the gas tax too, but few have. Oswego, Onondaga, Monroe, and Dutchess counties are among the counties giving their share of the gas tax back to consumers. Gas Buddy reports the average price of gasoline throughout New York is close to $5 a gallon, with $4.87 reported in Albany. Read more about this story at Spectrum News.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that former Columbia County Undersheriff James Blass was arraigned in court May 31st on child pornography charges. Blass waived his right to indictment. He was arrested in March by state police after the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children notified the state police Internet Crimes Against Children unit that an image of child pornography was allegedly discovered on one of Blass's Internet accounts. Columbia County Assistant District Attorney Joyce Crawford asked Columbia County Judge Richard Kowiek to issue an order of protection barring Blass from contact with any children under the age of 18. If convicted, Blass faces 1 to 1 1/3 to 4 years in prison. Police began investigating Blass last fall, and the probe involved the State Police Bureau of Criminal Investigation, State Police Computer Crimes Unit, State Police Internet Crimes Against Children Unit, and the Columbia County District Attorney's Office. Investigators determined that Blass was in possession of child pornography, and he was charged with possession of a sexual performance by a child, a Class E felony. Blass served with the Columbia County Sheriff's Office for more than 30 years, retiring in 1997. Blass also served as Copake Town Justice and Copake Police Chief when the town had a police department. Blass is due back in court on July 15th. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado was among those attending a vigil for victims and families of the Uvalde and Buffalo shootings May 28th in Poughkeepsie. He said, and I quote, "When you marry hate to the access of weapons of war, you get calamity. You get the heinous reality that we are experiencing right now in America," end quote. He added, and I quote, "Then you factor in the way we have been detached from each other, social media, and the ways individuals can go down rabbit holes and struggle to find themselves and lose their wherewithal as a result, so the mental health piece is also a factor," end quote. The vigil was sponsored by Moms Demand Action in the Hudson Valley and Hudson Valley Strong Indivisible. The March for Lives group is planning anti-gun violence rallies around the country on June 11th. Locally, so far, there are marches planned that day in Saugerties, Peekskill, and in Western Massachusetts. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And this summer's election schedule is complicated, and the first deadline for voters is June 3rd. That is the deadline to register by mail or in person to vote in the June 28th primary election. Mailed-in applications to register to vote must be postmarked no later than June 3rd and received by a Board of Elections no later than June 8th to be eligible to vote in the primary election. June 8th is the deadline for registered voters to change their address to vote locally. This summer, there are primary elections for governor and state assembly on June 28th, a special election for Congress and primary elections for Congress and the state Senate on August 23rd, and then the general election on November 8th.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, there will be a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 72 degrees. Wednesday night showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 4 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And on Thursday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 78 degrees. And the chance of showers on Thursday night, mainly after 8 p.m., it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia County.
Wednesday, June 1st, there's all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. Mayuka Fujina is live in the WGXC Acre studio with her Mirage Station show with all sorts of soundscapes and songs. At noon, we're live in Catskill with Spike Priggen, broadcasting live from Spike's Record Rack, his store on Main Street in Catskill, 2 hours for the Bedazzled Radio Hour. At 4 p.m., it's time for the WGXC Afternoon Show, including the Hudson Valley Congressional Report and new music from folks performing this weekend at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, including M. Geddes Gengris, Ben Saraton, and Open Head. At 8 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Rock and Roll High School with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanovskaya. 10 p.m., we're live from Ulster County with Jeff Economy and the Snack Point Charlie Show. The radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Saturday, June 4th, turn out for a hike with Bob Gildersleeve and Robert Titus at the North South Lake Park in Haines Falls, put on by the Mountaintop Historical Society. Historian Bob Gildersleeve and geologist Robert Titus lead a hike around the North South Lake to celebrate National Trails Day, with Gildersleeve describing the cultural history of the area and Titus sharing the geological history. This is at 9 a.m. Saturday, June 4th, and you can find out more information about this and many other local events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music, plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles, alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, June 1st. Early morning temperatures range from 57 degrees in Queechy Lake to 61 up in Windham. After yesterday's exposure, soil temperature has creeped up to 66 degrees. Chances of rain enter the area around 10 a.m. Some thunder comes rolling in behind it, with some stormy conditions happening this afternoon. A high of 70 is expected at 4 p.m. Rain ends around midnight and temperatures fall to 60 degrees, giving us some decent sleeping weather. Then on Thursday, temperatures bounce back up to 80 degrees around 4 p.m. Rain returns just before dark, then continues all night as temperatures fall to 60 degrees again. On Friday, the rain ends by the afternoon and we get a high of 74. The weekend is looking nice and dry with highs in the mid-70s. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:47 a.m., then low tide at 11:49 a.m. High tide again at 5:35 p.m., then low tide once again at 11:36 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 72 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:09 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see no significant solar activity, at least facing us. The opposite side of the sun is exploding so hard the whole thing is ringing like a bell. That active region could swing into view in the next week or so. Solar wind speed is currently 485 kilometers per second at 5.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 39. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alana Medlock of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support. This is Anya.
And this is Peter.
And we host a show called Rock and Roll High School.
On WGXC. First Monday of the month.
8 to 10 p.m. Tune in.
Tune in.
Ooh.
Oh, we did it at the same time.
Yeah. Fun, fun, rock and roll high school. Fun, fun, rock and roll high school. Fun, fun, rock and roll high school. Fun, fun. Oh, baby. Fun, fun. Oh, baby. Fun, fun. Fun goes rock, 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 rock and roll high school.
Yeah. From Survive All comes an economical do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved and easy to assemble. Takes just a weekend.
Get maximum protection from nuclear fallout for your family.
See a Survive All shelter today.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
I've been to more mass shooting aftermaths than I think any president in American history, unfortunately.
In the wake of last week's mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, President Joe Biden says he'll be meeting with congressional leaders to find common ground on gun control. Meanwhile, House Democrats are pushing forward with several gun control bills. The chamber is technically on break this week, but Democratic leaders have scheduled a special Judiciary Committee session for Thursday, with an aim to pass 8 bills on for a floor vote as soon as possible. The measures probably will sail through the Democrat-controlled House, but they face likely defeat in the 50-50 Senate. That means Biden's hands are functionally tied, although White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says he is weighing potential executive actions.
This president has done more executive actions at this point than any other president. He cannot do this alone. Congress needs to act so we can have federal law legislation on the books.
Former Donald Trump aide Peter Navarro has been subpoenaed to testify before a federal grand jury on his alleged involvement with the January 6th insurrection. The New York Times reports the hearing is tentatively set for Thursday, although Navarro has asked a federal judge to block the subpoena while he challenges its legality. The White House has outlined a new plan to tackle rising inflation. The multi-part strategy involves lowering costs of everyday goods by improving the supply chain and lowering the federal deficit. In a news conference, National Economic Council Director Brian Deese said Biden also will be reinforcing the independent authority of the Federal Reserve, the nation's central bank.
Which is critically important, particularly at a moment where inflation is elevated, but cannot be taken for granted, which is why the president is reinforcing it publicly today.
Michael Sussman, a former attorney for Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign, has been found not guilty of lying to the FBI about Trump's ties to Russia. CNN reports Sussman was charged with supplying a false tip, which led to a four-month investigation into the former president's potential relationship with the Russian-linked Alpha Bank. Speaking outside the courtroom today, Sussman denied any wrongdoing. He's previously argued the tip was made in good faith and not as a campaign tactic.
I told the truth to the FBI, and the jury clearly recognized that with their unanimous verdict today.
The suit against Sussman was brought by John Durham, a Justice Department special counsel appointed by Trump 3 years ago to investigate the investigations of the former president's alleged connections to Russia. And finally, the South Korean pop band BTS made a stop at the White House Tuesday to speak out against violence against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. According to the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism, anti-Asian hate crimes were up more than 300% last year compared with 2020. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. John Brodkin reports at Ars Technica that on May 31st, the U.S. Supreme Court overruled a Texas law banning censorship on social media on a 5-4 vote. Amy Coney Barrett, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, Brett Kavanaugh, and John Roberts voted to overturn the Texas law, while Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Neil Gorsuch dissented, and Elena Kagan voted against but did not sign on to Alito's dissent. The Texas law said, quote, social media platform may not censor a user, unquote, based on the user's, quote, viewpoint, unquote, and defines censor as, quote, block, ban, remove, deplatform, demonetize, deboost, restrict, deny access or visibility to, or otherwise discriminate against expression, unquote. The law was largely created because Twitter banned former President Donald Trump. The Texas law, quote, would have been a disaster for social media users and for public discourse, unquote, said John Berger Meyer, legal director for consumer advocacy group Public Knowledge. Quote, it would have ordered social media platforms to host and distribute horrific and distasteful content and to turn a blind eye to hate, abuse, and coordinated misinformation campaigns. The main result of these policies would not be to enhance free speech, but to keep people from speaking by driving them away from toxic platforms, unquote. Read more about this story at Ars Technica and read more radio news at wavefarm.org. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And if you're looking for fossil fuels, Sunoco in Tannersville has the cheapest prices in Greene County, according to GasBuddy, $4.89 a gallon. But then you would just be contributing to making the local air quality worse. And it's forecast to be a 31 on Thursday, which is still in the good range, but has been creeping up all week. The National Weather Service in Albany says Wednesday might not just be such a good day for local solar panels, as cloudy skies and rain is forecast. There could be a thunderstorm, too, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. with a high of 68 and a south wind 5 to 8 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Wednesday night, again, a 60% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 1 a.m. with a low around 57 and a south wind 5 to 9 miles per hour. Thursday, there's only a 20% chance of showers, mostly in the morning. Then it turns partly sunny with a high of 73 and a northwest wind 3 to 5 miles per hour. Thursday night, the low around 55 is forecast, and again, there could be rain. 60% chance of showers or a thunderstorm Thursday night. Friday, rain could be possible in the morning, then it turns partly sunny with a high of 70, a low around 51. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
And I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, listening to the weather and traffic now. We'll come back in a few minutes and talk with Hosan Zotek, too, about Hudson's Pride Month, or Pride Week is June 1st through June 5th. I guess that's a long weekend. We'll hear about the LGBTQ Pride celebration from Out Hudson in just a moment on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. All right, DJ Shadow there, starting things off on the WGXC morning show. And now joining us by phone is Hosan Zotek. Did I get it right?
Very close. I usually just say ocean, kind of like the sea, but it's fluid, and I love the different pronunciations, so I think you're perfect.
Hosan Zotek, you are the chair of Out Hudson, or what is your position officially?
Yeah, I'm on the board for sure, and I'm also the new executive director of Out Hudson.
New executive director.
Which is our community nonprofit.
organization that supports the visibility and quality of life of our LGBTQIA and allied Columbia County area residents.
And so it's everything starts today, June 1st through June 5th. It's a long weekend. Is that what it is?
For sure. Yeah. Well, of course, this entire month in the United States is LGBTQIA plus Pride Month. And in the state and at the city level, it's also been declared. But Out Hudson itself is sponsoring a really beautiful lineup from June 1st through June 5th of Pride activities, including the parade.
You want to go through and tell us what all is going on? Like what happens today?
For sure. So we have a lineup of over 15 distinct events, starting with our nine-pin cider product launch of the rainbow product that they create for us every year and donate over 30% of the proceeds back to our fund to help the community. We also have this evening at Sprig and Social a Planned Parenthood benefit sip and support to help raise some funds for the Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood office, which serves so many of our community members with vital reproductive services and health screenings. So we're kicking off strong today on June 1st. We're looking forward to some adult coloring tomorrow with the Hudson Coloring Club at Wild. And then on Friday, we will get to do something very special. We're going to have some remarks and speeches up at Hudson City Hall at 7:30 as we raise the rainbow flag over City Hall for the first time for the entire month of June. So those are a few of the things that are going to be happening this week before the parade.
And then the parade is back on, is it Saturday?
That's correct. And the parade is back after a two-year hiatus. Yeah, we have over 30 floats that are going to be stepping off at 2 p.m. On down Warren Street.
Now, are the floats bigger and better this year because people have had 2 years to think about concepts and paint birds on things? Or I'm trying to make a joke, but
totally. Well, you know, we carried forward the theme of the postponed parade. The 2020 parade was going to be themed Out of This World. And little did we know that it was going to truly get out of this world in the intervening years. But we are still going to be out of this world. So you can look forward to bringing your best rainbow-colored alien attire, planets, spaceships, beings from other dimensions, and all that jazz.
Has the city been accommodating, easy to work with, difficult to work with? How is Hudson to plan all this?
Yeah, we have enormous gratitude to all 17 departments of the city of Hudson, including the mayor's office. Mayor Kamal Johnson is going to be our co-grand marshal, along with myself, the grand marsha. And we're really grateful for their cooperation and support in pulling off our first pride since the pandemic.
I guess people are raring to go. Are you going to have a larger turnout than since it has been not happening for a couple of years? And I guess it seems like the COVID numbers are actually going down locally.
For sure. You know, there's no crystal ball. And of course, everybody is going to need to follow their guidance and the best practices that they can. So I have no prediction. All I can say is that in past years, pre-pandemic, the parade has drawn anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000 visitors and guests. So, you know, we look forward to each and every one of our guests this year to joyfully and safely celebrate together.
All right. We're speaking with Oshun Zotech, the executive director of Alt Hudson, who's also mounted a congressional campaign. So tell us about that.
For sure. So as I continued getting involved in the local community, I've lived in New York State my entire adult life, and I realized in some of this work that, you know, we have some really wonderful gay and lesbian folks serving in public office, but I realized that we had a bit of a problem. First of all, we didn't have any transgender or non-binary leaders in elected office in Columbia County. And then I also realized that in the entire history of the United States, we've never had a transgender or non-binary person ever even run for federal elected office. And so that was one of the things that inspired me to go ahead and announce a campaign to continue the historic legacy of Antonio Delgado in the 19th Congressional District, as it's been newly created.
And to be clear, it's a little complicated. You're running in the 19th Congressional Democratic primary, which will be August 23rd, I think?
That is correct.
But not in the special election for the current New York 19th Congressional District, which will also be August 23rd, but will feature at least one candidate who will not later be in the New York 23rd election. I mean, New York 19 election.
That's correct. Our our Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan stepped in order to substitute himself for the remainder of Antonio Delgado's term in the old 19th district. So he will continue to run for an additional term, a brand new term in the 18th congressional district, and he is also running to serve out the remainder of Antonio Delgado's term in the old 19th congressional district. Furthermore, the governor's office has yet to release any information about additional candidates running in the special election. So right now we're really just focused on the historic nature of this run. And we're really focused on this newly created 19th district. It's a new opportunity for really a fresh start and new leadership.
And so you've announced the candidacy. I'm unclear still on the process. You have to get signatures to get on the ballot, or what is the process?
For sure. I think that the designating petition process is a really big gate to pass through before we can get onto the ballot itself. And so once we accrue sufficient signatures to actually get on the ballot, we then can certainly continue campaigning more robustly. But that is definitely the way it works, that until you have all a couple thousand signatures to get onto the ballot, you are not on the ballot. You would have to be written in, or, you know, all kinds of other things. So we're definitely jumping through all the requisite hoops, if you will.
And the only other election that you've run for was a recent write-in candidacy at the school board in Hudson, where you finished sixth, I think, among six candidates. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I was approached as a first-generation American by some members of the immigrant community with respect to the diversity and inclusion work that's been going on, very important work in the school district, and some community members encouraged me to run. So I became the fifth person to enter that race under a write-in campaign. We actually, to my knowledge, turned out double the standing historical record of write-in votes for this role. So it was highly exciting and interesting. And another neighbor in town actually entered the race several days after me, and he also turned out triple the standing record of write-in votes for school board. So I would say that we both really did something historic and fast, too. And so Yeah, Calvin Lewis is now serving on the school board, and I was not elected to the school board. However, as a community stakeholder and as an executive director of our LGBTQIA nonprofit, I'm very honored to have been appointed as a advisory stakeholder to the diversity to sort of the diversity and equity committee, and to continue advising the school district in that capacity. So really, it's just a win-win all around, and I learned that this representation is so vital, bringing folks together across the community.
And then tell us additionally about your background in relation to the congressional run. What are some, besides political beliefs, which we'll get to in a second, what are some of your qualifications?
Sure. I mean, apart from being a certified K-12 educator and PhD candidate at SUNY Buffalo, I am also a transformative community leader and highly effective advocate and administrator. And so I knew all along that I would be able to sort of legislate and build a team around myself. But I never aspired to really run for office until I realized kind of this historic deficit and gap in our community that was so glaring to me. And I just thought right away that we needed to change that. And furthermore, I got a little bit more concerned also when the recent news came through regarding the Supreme Court. So certainly any threat to LGBTQIA plus civil rights, and any also towards women anywhere on the gender spectrum was of concern to me, and I felt highly inspired to do whatever I could as an LGBTQIA plus person and also as a first generation Cuban American to help ensure that we have much more diverse representation as much as possible. And so, you know, I just spoke to a few neighbors and started thinking about it. And we all kind of decided that I was going to go for it. And the worst that can happen is that we'll make history.
And
just by running.
Yes. And what other issues are you focusing on? You've talked about a few, but tell us some more issues that you're focusing on with the campaign.
Oh, certainly. I mean, gender and reproduction are very close to home in my community. But on top of that, we've been developing a robust, progressive platform that ideally builds upon some of the structures that we had in place. For instance, did you know that the majority of the 19th Congressional District falls within a USDA rural development zone? And so there's actually a whole variety of affordable housing options provided for under the 1949 Rural Housing Act, which helps people access rural rental and also zero down mortgages for homes. That's one example of an existing policy that I think would be so great to continue expanding upon to help bolster the economic vitality of this rural region in a space where increasingly we have the ability to leverage the internet and to work remotely as well as participating in more agricultural economics as well. So definitely supporting our financial wellness is very important to me, and also education. I'm so grateful to have been trained in and certified in education in New York, one of the best educational states in the country. We have such fantastic policies to protect all 11 categories of sort of minority groups of children. And we have really wonderful Common Core standards that hold high bars for learning. So I'm really interested in helping to expand educational policy so that in the U.S. we can improve our educational process and ensure that every kid is learning in a safe environment where their nervous system is not under high alert, where they can actually learn, and to really support curriculum across, you know, nationally. So those are a few of the things that we have going on, and there's always more, of course.
Yeah, I was going to, you hit on some of the things I was going to ask about, but we'll ask about climate change. Is the federal government, the school board, the local governments, or state government, are they doing enough to transition the infrastructure of the United States to renewable energy?
Wow, that's a great question. I know that a lot of my friends and neighbors are feeling pain at the pump these days when they go to fill their cars up with fossil fuel. And so I think it's a really hot topic and a really important issue to continue prioritizing the well-being of the environment. I would say that there's always more that we can do. And when we look at the new generations of leadership, whether from Greta or from other leaders in environmental awareness, we even have state senators from the Bronx and other areas discussing concepts of environmental racism, where externalities are affecting minority communities adversely. I would say that there's always more to be done when it comes to the urgency of the climate situation on this planet.
Mm-hmm. I guess finally, we're talking with Oshan Zotik, who is running for Congress, also the executive director of Al Hudson. But why would anyone want to run for Congress, where it's a body that largely doesn't get anything accomplished, and you can't really, and then you might be, I mean, it's fairly likely that Kevin McCarthy, who, you know, has been a strong advocate for overthrowing the government on January 6th and is not turning over any information to the committee about that, will be Speaker of the House. what sort of is that? You think you can affect change in a Republican-controlled House of Representatives?
Definitely, definitely. You know, as somebody who is neither man nor woman, I embody the unity that our community needs right now. And so, simply by being myself and by representing and showing that visibility, I know for a fact that changes and transformations will occur on every single level. Even in the Rules Committee, we're going to have to address the terminology to be used for myself, a Congress person, gentle person from New York, not gentleman, gentlewoman, congressman, congresswoman. So all around me is going to need to be changes and revisions. So I'm confident about that, and I'm fully aware that the U.S. Congress is one of the most unpopular entities in terms of approval rating in history. And I think it's a fascinating challenge to join this community of legislators and to, similar to Representative Delgado, really provide that essence of leadership and of being a good neighbor, where people really see themselves reflected on Capitol Hill. And to my mind, that is the only way that we're going to get the approval rating anywhere near a respectable rate for this body, and that we will actually reflect more and more what this nation actually looks like in terms of visibility and representation.
All right, we've been speaking with Oshan Zotik. Do you have a website that we can send people to, or a place people can look for information?
For sure. So we're definitely working to get our materials updated as we continue collecting those important signatures. However, the current campaign website is open. It's oceanfornewyork.com. That's OSUNFORNY.com.
And how about if people are looking for information about Out Hudson Pride events this week? Is there a website for that?
Oh, for sure. So, yeah, Out Hudson, Columbia County's oldest LGBTQIA nonprofit, has a website of outhudson.org. And our volunteers have done a really great job trying to keep all of that information up to date. So you can always go to outhudson.org or the Instagram at outhudsonny. And then just briefly looping back to the campaign, it's the similar thing, Ocean for New York on Instagram as well. So we have all that. And then the Pride lineup is publicized. It's in all the local media. So you can always look, check the internet or call a neighbor and they can tell you about it.
All right. That's now through June 5th. All sorts of activities, events, and, of course, the parade is on Saturday at what time?
Stepping off at 2 p.m. down Warren Street.
And that'll be, I guess, the biggest of the events. Anything else you want to mention while you're here?
No, I mean, 53 years after the Stonewall Uprising, the LGBTQIA and ally community has come so incredibly far in terms of civil rights. However, we still need pride. We still need pride, and we will continue to honor that celebration and continue to advocate for, you know, each and every part of our community until we have that self-acceptance and that community solidarity. So there's always something to support and there's always something to celebrate.
All right. Thank you, Ocean Zotique, for joining us today on the WGXE Morning Show.
Thank you, Tom. Happy Pride.
All right. Happy Pride. And we'll be back. We're hearing some more DJ Shadow now. Sucker.
to leave it. Tonight you got the power to take it. Tomorrow you won't have the power to keep it. West of Georgia, East of America, Gibraltar. I see the turning of the page, heading rising on a new age. See the groom still waiting at the altar. City's on fire, foes out of order. They're killing nuns and soldiers. There's fighting on the border. What can I say about Claudette? Ain't seen her since January. She could be respectably married or running a whorehouse in Buenos Aires. West of the Jordan, east of the Rock of Gibraltar. I see the turning of the page, heading rising on a new age. See the groom still waiting at the altar.
Bob Dylan taking us out on the WGXC Morning Show. I'm Tom Rowe, and since Eclectico is next, then Mayuka Fujino will